When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Hard Currency, the podcast from the Financial Times, looking at the events of the week affecting the $5 trillion foreign exchange market. I'm Roger Blitz, and all the talk this week has been about the policy meetings of the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank. How hawkish were they? What do they tell us about US and European growth? And what are their next steps on the road to normalisation? With me to discuss all these things is Michael Sneed, Global Head of Foreign Exchange Strategy at BNP Paribas. Michael, let's take the ECB first, because that's where we've had the biggest reaction, a fall of at least 1% as we speak in the euro. What did you make of what we learned? What was new about what we learned?
So what's very interesting about this ECB meeting is, you know, prior to this event, the market expectations were not hugely in line with looking for QE details to be announced today. Now, of course, we had the QE details very defined. However, of course, we've had the very bearish reaction in Eurodollar. The way that we read into this is that the QE tapering that was announced had in there a sentence of conditionality, yes, conditional on how the data is likely to evolve over the next 3 months. And then the very other important element is the forward guidance. We think that the forward guidance in the ECB was incredibly strong.
This is the key thing, isn't it? I mean, in a sense, the market kind of knew this, what we were going to get in terms of asset purchases and coming to the end, but they weren't expecting this one, were they?
Yeah, the key sentence in there is that the ECB expects that rates will be kept on hold through the summer of 2019.
Why does that matter?
So the market's expectations for some time has been that June next year is likely to be when the ECB first raises rates. So to say that phrase through the summer suggests that rates will be kept on hold until at least September 2019.
So an extra 3 months. It still doesn't quite for me sound convincing reason for a big sell-off in the euro. I mean, is there not also this element about how there's still a lot of caution in the ECB, and actually the balance in the ECB between the hawks and the doves is still very much there, and that the doves are putting their foot down?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it's not so much a balance, it's more a discrepancy between them. Yeah. And you can see that the wording around QE seems to be there to appease the hawks, while the wording, the very strong wording around forward guidance, seems to be there to appease the doves amongst the council.
Yes. Does the end of QE also being factored into by investors? Because after all, what this means in terms of particularly periphery countries in the eurozone is I think still unclear amongst investors. Do you agree?
I think it is unclear. I think it's something which investors have not put enough attention on. And one of the reasons for that is that, you know, it's quite complex. You know, so while QE is ending, reinvestments are going to continue. The ECB is going to maintain the size of the balance sheet. So that still means that there will be, you know, quite a lot of buying from the ECB, just not enough to be expanding the balance sheet. I think as well as that, particularly when you look at, say, the likes of Italy and Spain, these countries have done a lot of kind of extending the maturity of their debt, which actually means that although bond yields in Europe will be rising, the sensitivity of the government finances to that increase of rise of bond yields is much less than it was, say, 5 years ago.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of looking into the distance about all this, but ultimately, there is also the here and now. And for Mario Draghi, the president of the ECB, the euro's fall as a result of this statement is that not a victory for the ECB? And does it also mean that he's managed to calm volatility at what was always going to be a crucial moment for the ECB, this statement of ending QE?
I mean, the ECB has always told us that they're not targeting, you know, precise levels of Eurodollar. So we think that they wouldn't look at it and think whether or not the move in the FX is a success or a victory. And rather what they would think about is, you know, what's the impact on, you know, inflation? And you are seeing that kind of core drivers of inflation are starting to increase. Inflation pressures are starting to rise. Mm-hmm. However, as we saw kind of 12 months ago, the ECB is very sensitive to if there's a big rise of the currency. Yeah. And that has a threat to dampen down inflation pressures. And I think that that's one of the reasons why the ECB was so strong on the forward guidance, because they've seen in the past that when they're not strong on forward guidance, the currency can react very strongly.
Right. Now, talking of forward guidance, let's go back in time, 24 hours, to the Fed meeting on Wednesday, which was not interesting in terms of the rate hike that came out, but in a lot of, if you like, the structure of central banks, the Fed's communication. And one of these is to end forward guidance and actually to move in January to a each meeting being live. How significant is all this, Michael?
So we think it's reasonably significant. We won't want to read too much into it. But really, I think what it's telling us is that the path of the Fed in 2019 is going to be very different from 2018. You know, right. 2018, the question was always whether it's three or four rate hikes, but either way, the Fed will be gradually tightening policy. The key question on investors' mind for 2019 is whether we could see the end of the US recovery. Indeed. And is the US likely to slow down?
With people talking about recession in 2020, when does that start?
Precisely. And I think around that, the Fed will be more comfortable if it can comment more often on the data flow that it's assessing every 6 weeks.
Okay, I'm going to start asking you about compare and contrast between ECB and Fed. Having said what you said about the ECB and its cautious approach, the doves having a strong say, do you feel that there's a bit of a different direction for the Fed being, you know, fairly clear and fairly hawkish quite consistently now?
Yeah, I think comparing and contrasting, I think the Fed and the ECB are in very different places. You know, the ECB is, you know, just starting its policy tightening.
Indeed.
And as it starts it still wants to be very gradual and keep policy accommodative. And as well, referring back to the point I made earlier, it also wants to make sure that markets do not race ahead. And for example, you see a strong rally in the euro. If we look at the Fed, they're in a very different situation.
Yeah.
They're trying to assess whether or not the boost that you're seeing to the economy from extra fiscal spending, the tightness of the employment market, is going to be leading to a substantial rise of inflation. Or maybe some supply side effects will come through. Maybe technology will dampen inflation pressures. And that means that the Fed can continue to raise rates gradually throughout 2019.
It also means that the story of policy divergence, which, I mean, at the start of the year, we were talking about convergence. Then we started thinking a bit more about divergence. Then it's kind of gone off the board. But it feels like, to me at least, it really is going to be, you know, the market's watchword for the next 6 months.
Yeah, I think that's the case. But I also think that this kind of split between convergence and divergence probably isn't going to be applicable. It's more a parallel shift of rates moving higher,
right.
But with the timing around who hikes when and when might the Fed start to put back in the accommodation.
I buy that, but at the same time, it's clear the pace is going to be very different on both, and the Fed's going to be at, you know, foot on the pedal, and, you know, the ECB is going to be changing gears, you know, up and down. I mean, it's going to be quite clear it's going to be reflected in how data is therefore consumed. I mean, after all, we've had strong US retail data. That's been a factor in this week's moves, whereas people are still worried about, maybe you're still worried about the extent to which Eurozone data really is soft or not.
Yeah. One point to make before going into that is just around what the market's currently priced. You know, with the ECB's forward guidance, that's now actually pretty much in line with the market's pricing. The market's priced a 50% probability of the first ECB rate hike being in September.
Right.
So that, I think, limits the ability for the market to swing too wildly from here off the back of what's happened. In terms of the data, we are at BNP Paribas looking for a pickup in Eurozone data. Yes. So far, the data for Q2 has been a little bit disappointing, but we are seeing pickups in US data, seeing pickups in emerging market data, and we think that is eventually going to be coming through in Eurozone data as well.
Okay. I mean, just to conclude, Michael, I felt sorry for you guys all, I don't mean just BNP Paribas, but all forex strategists all year about trying to understand where the euro and dollar are going to be. I feel really, really sorry for you guys right now because it just feels just impossible to call. I mean, there you are. You're at the start of the week. I mean, you would have thought, okay, I think this dollar rally is now probably coming off and it's time to get back behind the euro. I don't think that now. Where are we? Late Thursday. Is this just going to be a constant toing and froing for the rest of the year?
Yeah, so one thing we've noticed with a lot of the models that we run is that a lot of the correlations are changing very quickly. So, we went from rate differentials not being important to being important, then relative curves steepness became important. So you're getting a lot of kind of changing regimes. And on top of that, we've had in the last 6 months a lot of swings in investor positioning.
Yes.
And what we'd like to do when we think more about where a currency is going in the medium term is think about the real flows, where the portfolio flows like to be going. In our view on the medium term, we do think that euro dollar is going to be heading higher. And one of the reasons for that is we think the US is becoming a lot less of an attractive destination. Yes. For capital. And actually, from relative comparison, the Eurozone, although yields are lower because the curve is steeper, is actually a much more attractive place for foreigners to put capital.
What's your depth of conviction on that call?
So, I mean, from this level, given that the ECB's forward guidance is now in line with market pricing, I think the risk for euro dollar continuing to move lower is, it's there, but it's not a huge risk. Okay. I think risk reward is to the upside.
My thanks to Michael Sneed of BNP Paribas. Talking of toing and froing, next week we have the Bank of England meeting and lots of votes on Brexit, as if we didn't have enough this week, which will determine in some way or shape or form some kind of path for the pound. Until then, from Hard Currency, it's goodbye.